You ready? You want to read it?
Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here,' or 'See there.' For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you." Then he said to the disciples, "The day will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, 'Look here,' or 'Look there.' Do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so, it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not return, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night there will be two men in one bed. The one will be taken, and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding together. The one will be taken, and the other left. Two men will be in the field. The one will be taken, and the other left." And they answered and said to him, "Where, Lord?" So he said to them, "Wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together."
All right. Any thoughts? Any questions? I told you there wasn't much to talk about.
And the last verse, what does it here say? Because I have a different version.
And they answered and said to him, "Where, Lord?" So he said to them, "Wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together."
It says the same Greek term can refer to eagles or vultures.
Oh, well, you can soar high and still be a dirty bird.
Everybody like the same? Well, I do have to tell you this. My title is 1720 to 37B. Because my notes for 2720 to 37A got stressed last week actually. Let's pray. Father, I'm just glad that we can come. Lord, coming here isn't a special place, any different than meeting you at home. We're in a quiet place, but Lord, there's something that takes place when your body gets together. And so we just ask, Lord, that you would build everyone up, encourage, strengthen, and just continue to lead us and draw us to yourself. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as I was looking at this and I started, just so you know, my first set of notes has my doctrine on the end times as I read through this. which would probably be different than some, but then, because I think, you know, you hear all these different things, and then you start to link to Mark 24, or Matthew 24, and Mark 13, and you start thinking about all these things, but the cool thing about all this is, we don't have to worry about it until Luke 21. Because Luke 21 says pretty much the same thing, but it's at a different time period. It's later, it's right before his crucifixion, and there's more detail in it. So, I'm going to tell you now that I will probably say the same things when we get there. So, you can write it down for notes of Luke 21, go back to Luke 17. Because I think the same things are being taught, and we as the body of Christ get sidetracked on little things and are worried about days, when's he coming, and all these things, and we forget what he even says in the script, in the verses. At least for me. But I wanted to read just, this is kind of what changed how I wanted to share this today. And 2 Peter 3:14 to 18, I wanted to read. And one of the things I realized is, this is just came up in my daily reading. So as I was reading, and it just kind of, everything links for me. So when I'm reading for studies, and you know, they all kind of think, but it says, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him. And here's something that was really stood out to me, that Peter says, Paul got wisdom, and we know that Paul talks about Thessalonians and different things about end times and stuff. So this was my mind training where I was reading all this. So I read this. Paul, according to the wisdom given him, has written to you, as also in these epistles, speaking to them on these things, in which are some are hard to understand. Do we agree with that? Peter walked with Jesus, saw all these, heard all these things. Paul writes, and he's still saying, these things are still are hard to understand. Which untaught, and this is where it caught me, and unstable people twist them to their own destruction. As they do also the rest of the scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. So the reason why I read this to you is because Peter came to a point where he realized that there's things in the scriptures that are hard to understand. And one of the worst things that I can do is try to give you my opinion and try to talk to you about end times. Like he said, that people who don't understand, like there's a lot of things that you read the Revelation, and I'm sorry, but I'll be like, okay, got it. Where'd that come from? I mean, that's, so there's things you can't understand, there's things we don't understand, but one of the things I don't want to do is share with you my opinion or my doctrine. What I believe. If you want to talk about it, we can talk about it out top, you know, on the side. But whether I believe in pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, no-trib, I do know we go through tribulation daily in this world. So I don't feel like sharing you to what my opinion is, because it doesn't matter. It's not yes and amen. And there's a warning there, not just try to get along on things and get caught up in things that we don't understand. With that, let's go back to Luke. Did that make sense why, like, because a lot of people were fighting and arguing. The body of Christ is to be building up, equipping, edifying one another in the thing, in Christ. The things we know. The big question is, when? The Pharisees asked, when will the kingdom of heaven take place? Or when will the kingdom of God take place? When will it come? Isn't that what we're all wondering? Come quickly, Lord Jesus. In some ways, a lot of times, we're going through these. But there's a few verses in here that stood out to me. If you start reading this and you start seeing all the different things about in that day and his coming. And so you start reading this and you start thinking, okay, he's starting to talk about end times. Maybe that's how I was when I read it, until I read verse 20 again. Or, I'm sorry, yeah, verse 20. The kingdom does not come with observation. That's Jesus' words. So do we believe?
Well, we can't see with our eyes.
No, I don't mean it that way. So,
I mean,
but he does say, you will not know. I don't know. The Son of Man does not know.
The spiritual things are understood through
spirit, right.
Yeah.
But the times and the seasons and these things, I don't think. Jesus tells us a few bits and a few things, but I don't think that's his main thing to be keeping an eye on. Ultimately, it's walking with him today. Today we hear his voice. The constant reminder as we get through scripture is, don't worry about tomorrow. I mean, honestly, is there anything in the scripture that needs to take place before Jesus comes back?
Well, the one world ruler.
What?
The one world ruler.
Okay. I mean, there's things, times, seasons. There are some different things, but to line them all up, there's a lot smarter people out there than me. But I think Jesus' message is really important, what he says in here. Because I'm going to tell you real quickly what he says. When it happens, everything's going on is the same as it was before it didn't happen. Everybody's about their business, doing everything, not paying attention. And in one moment, half the people are going, or people are going to start disappearing. People are going to be left behind. Right? I mean, that's kind of what's being said. When it happens, we shouldn't be looking at it, or worried so much about, because we have to come to a place where we believe that he's going to take care of us no matter what's going to happen. You have a weird look.
Thank you.
Huh? No, I just think that something not come out right. I just.
Well, I think also.
That's fine. I just.
I was thinking about back. Did you? Somebody else talk. I was thinking about what Peter said, but the last verse that he said there in that passage you read was, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord." And I was kind of putting that together with a proverb. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding.
Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Just repeating that for me.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of like is a definition of when Peter said, you know, he writes things that are hard to understand.
Right.
There's only one way to understand it, and that's to pursue the knowledge of Jesus. And then he'll open your understanding, because he is understanding.
Right.
That was the weird law.
Yes.
Could he also be... The Pharisees originally asked a question. And they asked the question, when will the kingdom of God come?
Right.
So they're expecting the Messiah to come and bring the kingdom of God with their mindset.
Or their perception of what a kingdom is, the kingdom of God is supposed to be, was misunderstood.
Agreed.
Okay.
So he says, you know, don't worry, the kingdom of God is here, you don't even see it. I'm here, I'm standing right in front of you. But then he goes on and says, what you're looking for are the days of the Son of Man. It gives it a whole different, it gives the second coming of Christ in that nutshell. When they ask,
this is a real short one compared to when we read
right,
later.
But he's saying, okay, the kingdom's here, you don't see it, but what you're looking for is the days of Son of Man, and that's coming.
I think his ultimate message is you don't walk out in the kingdom of God today and live the life that the Lord is walking with Jesus today. It doesn't matter who it is. You're going to be lost. You're going to be mistaken and not know what's going on. So I think what Jesus really wants us to get to, the first thing he said, the one verse that he said that really stands out, well, let me back up. We talked about a kingdom in the last two studies I've done. One was about kingdom living and what do we believe that is. We were born into the kingdom of darkness. And when we're born again, what happens? We're translated
to the kingdom of light.
The kingdom of light, or into the kingdom of His marvelous Son. So you have a new kingdom. You are no longer of this earth. You are no longer of the world. In the meantime, we've got to learn what that means. Right? And how that, what that practically walks out in our lives. The kingdom has a king. And how that kingdom is run is important. Like, we all, first off, when's the kingdom of heaven come? Right? The guy asked that. Do you even have a desire for it? You know what I'm saying? Like, do you really want to, Jesus is saying, do you really want to see the kingdom of God? It's an end. Watch me.
He also said it's within.
I'm sorry?
He also said it's within. Like,
yes.
You can't run and see it. He,
correct.
He comes to you.
Right. So you should, it's under, yes.
There's two terms here. One is the coming of the kingdom of God. The other is the coming of the Son of Man. And I think they're different in this passage. And I think the passage is talking about several different things.
Very good. And where you start to add and mix them and break them up.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, a couple things. And one, he says, people are looking for this because there's no sign it's going to be given. But then when you look at verse 24, and I think this is talking about the crucifixion, which is just as the lightning flashes and the light it lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. Now, that could actually be 2 days, the crucifixion day where the sky went dark. It was obviously
for 3 hours.
Not a gift there. But I think also the second coming can be spoken of there too. So I more study than I've got time to do in 20 minutes.
So you get a little confusing after a while?
I think it's going in several different directions.
Well, we do know in the Old Testament when the prophets spoke, they spoke of things in it, like we talk about like a mountaintop. You can see the first mountain, but the other one's taller, and there's other pieces in there, but everything in between we miss. There's a lot of that going on in there. But coming to a place where we understand, how is the kingdom of God ruling? Just say it. How? We all want to get there. We all want to be there. How is it going to be ruled? Who's in the ruler? Who is he? What's his character? How is he going to?
He's righteous.
Okay, he's going to rule in righteousness. What else?
Rod of iron.
I'm sorry?
We'll rule with the rod of iron.
Rod of iron. Okay.
Love and grace.
Mm-hmm. Love and grace.
Approach the throne with grace.
Goodness, gentleness, meekness, self-control. It's a kingdom of love. He will not do anything outside of his own character. So we need to know his character. Right? So we know how he rules. And how he reigns. How does he rule with a rod of iron? I think a lot of times it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. That sometimes the hardest hit thing that hits you in the face is to see His goodness and His loving kindness that draws us. These are all, and there, it tells us that depending on those days that we're going to reign and rule with Him. Right? So, we have that. Sorry. First off, we do know the heart of God is to give us a king. Right? It's His desire. And that's the most important. He created us to be with Him. and that we could get to know Him and walk with Him and love Him, right? And then as we do that, and while we're no, since we do not live in our homes, this is not your homeland, you're not Americans. You're bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You are not of this earth. This earth is not your home. It's hard to remember that day by day. So Jesus comes and said, well, you're going to search for days of the Son of Man. But guess what? The Son of Man must suffer many things. The whole point of his teaching is to say, there's a lot of things that's going to be going on before we even get to that. But you have an opportunity today to walk in the way of the kingdom that you have and be who I'm working in you, right? That's the desire. I think that's ultimately all of our question. How does this work? How does this walk out? How does this play out? And I think sometimes we get distracted from looking to the future, but it's here and now. You can enjoy as much of Jesus today by faith, walking with Him and resting in Him as you can tomorrow. And when we see Him, like in 1 John, it says that if we see Him, when we see Him, we'll be like Him. We have that opportunity today when we get a glimpse of His character. Jesus' goodness. Well, guess what? If I walk out and I see that and I identify with that and I start letting the Lord become my all in all and allowing Christ to be formed in me, I think Jesus wants to walk His life out of us. Walk through us, right? To the world around us. Do we agree to that? And that is what's happening. He's saying, look, guess what? While you're here, there's going to be sufferings. The Son of Man has to suffer many things. He has to go to the cross. We're not far from the cross. This teaching is probably 2-3 months, maybe a month, till 22. Till we get to 21 of chapter 21, and He talks about the same things. Jesus many times said the same things over and over again because they didn't get it, and neither do we. But He loves us, and it's His goodness that draws us to Himself. And He opens up and reveals Himself to us so that as we're walking, you can kind of, what kingdom am I living for? So this chapter 18 we're going to get into and see, and I know I'm not going verse by verse, but I just think that the whole thing could be just nutshell. Chapter 18 is going to be about a steward who's not actually an unjust judge. We're going to talk about. But different times we see that it's about being a good steward of what we've been given. And in Luke 12, Jesus starts to go into and talk about how the servant became lazy and forgot his master's coming. Or the master delayed, he's taking him too long. So he no longer continued to live under the Lord, but he thought the Lord was changed his way. His motivation got changed. Well, he hadn't come when I thought he was, so. And then he starts beating his servants. Right? And so I think sometimes when we get a misunderstanding or a apprehension or understanding, when we get into that point, that many times when it doesn't happen the way we think, we start to be aggressive. Because our belief system just got wrong. Like, I thought this was going to happen. Everybody been there. I really thought the Lord was going to do this. And then, just got wiped. It just didn't work out. Your belief systems get wrong. And sometimes you have to take that frustration out on others. And you forget what He says. That I am coming. Behold, I come quickly. We have to hold on to these things. Quickly in our understanding and God's understanding might not be the same. But whether He comes today or He doesn't come today, He still wants to reveal and speak to you today. And He wants to form His life in you so that He can live His life out. I think Jesus wants to live today the same way when he came down there and walked this out. When he walked, not exact, maybe not everything being the exact same, but what I mean is I think he wants to touch people's lives. He wants to lay hands on them. He wants to give them a future and hope. There's nothing has changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right? So he just wants us to humbly to walk with him today. To lay down our lives. The way we do that, the way we keep our focus, I would say, how we keep our eyes on him, we have to remember this is not our home. And I think Jesus said something later on in the chapter that he seeks to save his life's going to lose it. He seeks to lose it, it's going to find it. When we give up and surrender, is when we actually get to start finding the life that the Lord has for us. And when we agree with him and say yes and let the things that he's telling us in the New Testament that he wants to live out of our life. There's a lot of things that I guess sometimes different people don't always agree. Does God want to work through us the same way he worked through the apostles and things like that, disciples? And I think he does. And he wants others to. And but I don't know. But God, I don't know. I'm struggling. Remember Lot's wife. What happened? There's going to be a lot of pillars looking down, falling back. That's right now. Just kidding. That was a joke. But when you think about Lot, what was going on with Lot? Yeah, when people want to come up to your door and take advantage of your guests. Yeah, that's a good old age.
Yeah. Well, you're right. You left everything behind. Right? Yeah. I mean, like, you know, it's that sense of, like, you don't believe it. But you know what I find to be very interesting about this? The first question was when. When is this going to happen? Yes, by the Pharisee. Jesus answers with the what. This is what's going to happen these days. This is the sign of the time zone. And then, but I thought the question that the disciples asked was a pretty small one. Where? Like, he tells them what, and he answers with, they ask where. Like, where is it going to happen? You know, I think I didn't get that. And then he tells them that where the dead bodies are, the vultures will gather. You know, what do you think about that? There's three different questions. When? Yeah.
When, where, why? No.
Yeah, when, why? He tells them why.
Right.
And their question is, like, okay, tell us what now. Where is it going to happen? Like, we'll be there when it happens. Like, right. We can maneuver ourselves into the right location. You know what I mean? Like, that's what's going to happen in Washington.
I can say that during 70 AD, that many believers, Christians, took these words to heart. When the Romans came, because the Romans had a symbol of an eagle. And when the Romans came in, dead bodies were left behind. So, when in 70 AD, a lot of people looked at this and different things, and even Matthew 20 things, and they're like, we better get out of Dodge. Because what was talked about happened. So, some things happened then, they're going to happen, and some people believe the same type things are happening or will happen. Man of Perdition, and Antichrist when he sets himself up. It's going to be a lot of parallels to 70 AD and things like that. So that's what people believe. That's what we're looking at, and it's been pretty consistent. But they did take this, and a lot of people were saved because they fled. But I do think that in our lives, the warning is true for us today too, that we need to live a life of not looking back. Paul said, I count it as loss. For what? The excellency of the knowledge of him. And as he continued to walk, and later in the letter he says, I only on the books.
Yep.
Right?
There's only one big thing.
Right.
Important thing.
To know him.
That Lot's wife, we're not saved by what we do. And she was not lost because she simply looked back. She looked back because she was not a woman of faith. She did not, in other words, I think Jesus is trying to say, you know, he wants us, the whole point is always to draw people to himself.
Mm-hmm.
So there has to be something there. You've got to look for it. He wants people to not look with their eyes, but to, you know, trust God. You put that faith in them to develop that and to trust him. But on our own, we're going to look back. Of course, we're going to look back. Okay, handsome, where are you now? But we're going to, you know, we're human, but I think the point is that she was not a woman of faith. She didn't believe, you know. She was all about this world, what she could see. This is it. Just live it up.
And everything we come up with about her is just thoughts, because there's nothing in here written other than she turned back, filled her soul. But it can be a many things. But these things happen to us when we turn back, you know, and we start looking back. We become frozen. We're not pushing forward. We're not moving ahead. We're worried about, I'm worried about my past mistakes. I'm worried about my past accomplishments. You know, everything's worked on the past instead of looking forward, looking unto him. That's our goal, look unto him. Jesus said to the Son of Man, you're looking for a kingdom, I'm talking about the Son of Man. Look at me. Right? I have to go and suffer many things and be rejected. Keep your eyes on me. This is what I'm going, that's what I'm here for. And the truth is it's what we're here for. As we walk with him and he wants to walk that light out of us, we're going to be rejected. But we're not going to be, he is. He's still the one being rejected. If you take it to heart that you're just allowing yourself to be hurt for something he's being rejected for. Right? They're coming after him, not you. Battle is spiritual, not fleshly, right? So we got to keep these things in mind and continue to fight and press on. Jesus said in Luke, I always say, fear not, little flock, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And the reason why I say it, many times people look at the Father and the Son as two different people. Like God's an angry, Old Testament God, New Testament God, right? We get that. I know in here most of us don't feel that, but Hebrews tells us that Jesus is the express image of the Father, right? Everything Jesus did was exactly what the Father would have done when he walked this earth, right? It's important. He's our example. I knew, well, he is our example, because he's the only one that did it right. Not for us to try to copy, but for us to try to rest and allow him to continue to be himself and agree with him and walk that life out through us. So knowing God's heart is to give you the kingdom. God's will is for you to be sanctified and set apart and drawn unto him. And Jesus tells us in John why he sanctified himself. He says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So he goes to word for truth. As you sent me into the world, I also sent them into the world. And then for their sakes, I sanctify myself. Why did Jesus sanctify himself? That they may be sanctified. Right? We talked about it a couple weeks ago. Why do I set myself apart? Why do I see? Because I want to know the Lord, but then also as I get to know him, that people can see there's something in this light that they might want. There's got to be something about the kingdom of light, the kingdom of the Son of his love, the kingdom of darkness must want to have. I hope. Are we in the kingdom of light? Are we allowing his light to shine forth, to come forth? Are we agreeing with God and allowing him and letting him walk out that light today to sanctify himself? He said this. What did he do? did everything that the Father told him. Everything that happened was the Father's will, which means that's his desire. So when you look at Jesus, you see the expressed image of your Heavenly Father. Full of grace, full of truth. Full of love, full of mercy. They're the same, they're one. Jesus isn't acting contrary to the Father. The Father doesn't have different motives. They're one. And it's important because so that we know the Father's heart and the things that Jesus did, he always sets himself apart for your benefit. Doesn't that kind of sound like can consider others more highly than yourself? Sounds scriptural. I do these things not for my benefit, because that's what called denying yourself is. That when I start walking day by day and circumstances come up, the first thought doesn't be like, okay, how can I make this scenario good for me or work for me? I think we're told that we're to consider how it affects everyone else around us. That's what Jesus did. Everything that as he walked was the Father's heart to do for the benefit that we could be with him because he loves us. He's done everything that needed to be done so that we could be with him. To walk with him. And we need to agree, we need to settle and rest in that. And I don't mean that as works. And I think you guys know that. I know in Philippians it says, and I think this is how all these processes work out your own fear and trembling, your salvation, fear and trembling. It's God who works in you, will and do for his good pleasure. So, what is my work? What is your work? Believe, receive, enjoy, rest. Remember where you're from. Learn about where you're from so you can be a good ambassador. I mean, it's good to know what the kingdom stands for that you're going to represent.
Yeah. You know, I feel like I need to make a comment to the comment I made because I don't want to be misunderstood. Because I don't think that though we are not working to be faithful servants of God or we know where salvation is not in works, but I don't believe that as we keep our eyes on the Lord, we trust in him, I think that we will do incredible things. We're not going to live like hermits.
Correct.
We're not going to be hermits. We're going to do incredible things.
So you're saying you're not going to be a light hidden under a bushel?
Yeah, because
right.
We have a big fire.
Yeah.
Anyway, but you're going to do incredible things. You're going to wonder, how did I do that? How did I say that or do that? It's because the Lord will use you. And that's what I believe. So it's not like, we're just sitting at home like hermits or monsters. We're not, you know what I mean?
Jesus could have been the expressed image of his Father and never come to earth. You know what I mean? He could have, because he already was. He didn't change who he was, but he came here for our benefit. So he was not a hermit. Right? That's all it means. He's showing you and walking out that this is the same thing the way that we're going to live. We can all close the doors and shut them. We can all agree, well, maybe if there's more. If there's less than one, we might all agree. But anyway, we might agree. Or we can allow the Lord to work in us, knowing that he is coming. Do I believe? Is there going to be a time when that kingdom comes? There's people out there that need to hear. There's no way around it. There's lost people who are in the kingdom of darkness. And I'm not saying this to make you feel guilty. I'm just saying it because I feel like that's where the Lord has me. People are lost. They need to see Jesus. And the only way they're going to see Jesus through to allow his light and light to come through for your life. And or they can see the opposite, and that's just you. Which isn't fun for people. So as we get through these things, and I know I'm scattered today, John 13, I really hold on to this verse as it comes to end times, because it helps settle things for me. Jesus said, I tell you things before you, that when it comes to pass, you may believe. He said, I don't tell you beforehand, so you just keep looking for it and looking for it. Because if all I keep looking for is a kingdom to come and don't realize the kingdom's within, what am I going to do? I'm sitting there looking and watching and waiting for something I already have. And most of the Christian life is that way. We're looking and waiting for the Lord to do something He's already given you. You have all things that pertain to life and godliness. I think, or don't you? We do. The scriptures say you have all things. You are complete in Him. Now the rest of it is learning what that means and how to walk in completely, right? Like Jesus said, I'm complete. But He's faithful to complete it to the day of Christ Jesus. So in His mind, it's complete. It's me learning to walk it out, man, and He's faithful. It's going to meet up. And what He has and I am is going to be together as I yield. Otherwise, looking back and changing, it does turn us into pillars. Because if, well, what about, and what? Instead of just saying, okay, Lord, I'll walk with you. Lead, okay, do I have a heart? Is it really that hard to treat people with gentleness? With love? I mean, we're waiting for God to do this massive work and to work through us and us having a part of it. I think that there's points and times that we need to say, I can't do this, Lord. You're going to go through me. Not this big, like, you don't need a super empowerment by the Holy Book, but you do, but like the super feeling of empowerment just to be nice to somebody. Or to consider someone else. It is a work of the Holy Spirit, but you don't have to have this cushy feeling, you just have to know that that's His heart. And if that's the heart of the King, wouldn't that be the heart of the people in the kingdom? And so He wants to move your hearts and change your hearts to have His heart. And to live and walk and touch the people around. One more thing, I think I'm long enough. Carol had asked me the portion about two men in bed, one taking another left, two in a field, one taking another left. And a lot of people have the homosexual questions come up when they read this stuff. The cool thing about it is, it's not even in Scripture. If you read it, it's in italics. It's there to help you understand. Those words aren't in the Greek. So two are there, one's taken, one's left. There's no male, female, those words in the Scripture. So as people start to work these things out and try to talk these things, well, see, look, two men were together in a bed. One was taken, one left. For an excuse or their reason for thinking it's possible or whatever, it's not in Scripture. That part is not there. So there's two there, one taken, one left. Leave it at that. Don't add to it, don't subtract. But I will say this, and this is all I'm going to say about it. I do not understand the extent of the grace of God. And I'm leaving it there. Because I'm not worried whether you're saved or you're saved. I'm going to work out my own salvation. So in the things that I see light and I see that the Lord's working and wanting me to walk in, I have to agree with Him in that. The steward that's in 18 and the steward that's in Luke 12, the unjust steward, they got distracted. They got bored. They thought Jesus was taking too long to take care of them. To come back. And that's the thing, guys. Don't be distracted or disappointed because He hasn't shown up the way you expected Him to, when you expected Him to. Keep walking with it. Keep walking in what you do know and let Him deal with the things you don't understand. But this you know, He loves me. He's in me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. And I have life in his name. And if I keep that as my focus and I keep walking with Jesus today, 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 not tomorrow. He warns through Scripture. Don't worry about tomorrow. You can't add anything to it. All it does is bring stress. But you can come to him and learn from him. And as we learn from him, hopefully a disciple, as they learn something, it becomes who they are. Kent's not going to have somebody keep working for him if they can't figure out how to put tape on the floor or wall before he can paint. It might be one of the most important jobs to do. I hated it when I worked with him. But if you can't get no, it's because like I'm like, I want to do this and do this. It's like, no, you have to learn how to paint. Right? Okay, Kat, here's what Kat tells you when you start to work with him. Forget everything you learn. I'm going to show you how I want you to do it. Right? I think that's Jesus. Forget everything you've been taught by the religion and by the world because you've been cheated, ripped off your whole life, and let him teach you. And learn the way he wants to. You learn a lot that way. If you can humble yourself and just say, you know, I think I know something, but if I really don't care, if I just go by the one who's telling me to do it the way they want me to do it and just walk in it, which is belief, trust, faith, that he's going to work it out in and through me and all of us. I mean, that's what we're walking in, and it's a day-by-day relationship, growing in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And not worry about tomorrow. That's where I am with this. I don't know where everybody else is, but I think it practically does show us that he is working in us. Do you believe that God's working in you to will and do for his good pleasure?
Yes.
Do you? Then let him do it. Agree with you. I know I talk about lettuce, and I don't mean the veggie. Let us agree with you. Walk with you. Enjoy it. And don't argue over stuff that's not even worth arguing about. Most people are trying to just feel good about something, but it's not Christ. I don't want to be where the body is. And when we walk, hang out, becoming pillars, it's just death. You guys know it when you're not walking, seeking him. Or you're struggling, or you're just, it's frustrating. So why? That's all. Any thoughts? Do I need to clarify? Take away? One of the weird things is it's been 6 months since I've been reading Luke 17 since I quit teaching. So I've like read it so many times, I've probably had 10 different things I could have shared different days, depending on when we came to it. But I think the most important thing is to keep your eyes on Jesus. Let him lead you. Understand how he's leading you. He's leading you in his love, in his mercy, in his kindness, in his gentleness, his righteousness, and his truth. But it's all linked with the first characteristics, because I can share a lot of truth and not be right with the attitude. If it's not motivated by love, it's wrong. Even though it's right. So, anyway, Peter says also, it says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons all be in holy conduct and godliness. This is how we ought to be. Kind, holy conduct, godliness, looking for the hasting, the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with a burning heat. What do we need to do? Keep looking for his hastening. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, come. But until then, until you make that day, whether it's your individual time or it's a corporate day and it all works out, how ought we to be? We fix our eyes on Jesus and rest. We have a purpose. And I think many times we forget the purpose. And when we forget a purpose, it becomes a problem. We cause ourselves headaches. So with that, let's pray. Father, we just thank you. Pray that you take what was said and that you would encourage this person here, Lord, because this world wants to just rip us off and tear down, lie. Lord, you came and gave us grace and truth. So help us to walk in that truth, like Ken shared earlier, Lord, about that we want to, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding, Lord. We want to know you. So we ask that you work in us that love for you and help us to agree. In Jesus' name.